We've been doing a sermon series on prayer. On week one, I said, prayer is not a requirement, but a relationship. I encouraged all of you to begin your prayer by calling God in heaven, Abba Father, Heavenly Father. The other day, someone told me that, Pastor, I'm still working on it. Changing her words from like Lord and Holy God to Loving Father. On week two, I said, prayer is a rescue. It is our heart cry to our Heavenly Father in times of trouble. Therefore, I encourage you to keep ringing God's ears with prayers and petitions, and God will rescue you, hearing your voice. Last week I said prayer is a request. Request is an act of asking. Jesus says in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given. I told you that it's an imperative, it's a command. Therefore, if we do not ask, we are disobeying Jesus. Keep on asking Jesus and God for your needs. I also urged you last Sunday to experiment on prayers for the next 3 months, so that you may discover the living God who answers your prayers. It's one thing that God answers prayers, pastor choice prayers. It's quite different from you say, I know God answers my prayers. I want you to experiment it. This morning, part 4 of 5 of our series, we'll think about prayer as a rest. As I say, rest. Now, some of us understand prayer as a labor, which is true. You are correct. Prayer is indeed a laborious work in spiritual warfare, advancing the kingdom of God on earth with your prayers, which I'm going to talk about next Sunday. Do not miss it. And in prayer, we labor, we agonize, and we are engaged in spiritual battles through prayer. Therefore, it requires our time and effort and dedication and even persistence. However, before you say that prayer is a labor, you must understand it is a rest. Before labor, rest comes. In other words, God created us, you and me, and He wants us to find rest in prayer in Him before we engage ourselves in strenuous labor, whether it is physical or spiritual. As the rest, imagine this, you are an athlete ready to run a marathon in the morning. What do you do? What do you need to do the night before? Take plenty of rest, so that you may be ready to run the race in the morning. Same way, for any believer, any spiritual warfare, we must rest before we engage ourselves in spiritual battle. Rest before labor is also coincides with God's creation order, or principle, if you will. For example, we all know that God created Adam and Eve at the beginning, in the beginning. Did you know how they began their lives on earth? With rest first. This is how it went. They were created on the sixth day, after God created all the rest before them. And then, on the seventh day, God had them rested and rest on the seventh day. And guess what? They started working on the eighth day. Do you see the pattern? Creation and rest and work. If you ask me, Pastor Choi, what is your most productive hour during the day? It all varies, but in my case, I would say the most productive hours are morning hours. I feel like 1 hour in the morning is like equal to 2 hours at night. That's how I, function. Because my body in the morning is rested and well refreshed and recharged for the day with a good night's sleep. Now, keep that in your, just mind as I continue. Before I dig deeper, though, I'd like to define the word rest so that we may stay on the same page. Oxford Dictionaries define rest as this. I quote, an instance or period of relaxing or ceasing to engage in strenuous or stressful activity. I think it's a good definition. Based upon this definition, I'd like to further extend my own understanding and definition of prayer as rest. What is prayer to me? Prayer is a rest before God from stressful activities in body, soul, and spirit. Now the key phrase here is the before God, rest before God. And that's what distinguishes the Christian prayer, which focuses on God, from the secular, quote-unquote, spiritual meditation. Nowadays, if you go to yoga class or any other secular New Age classes, they teach you to meditate. What's the difference between Christian prayer and meditation? Spiritual meditation, they teach you to focus on yourself. Christian prayer, never focus on yourself, but focusing on God. Without God, there's no true rest in your soul. Anyway, with that understanding, let me move on. Whenever I think of rest, one story always comes to my mind. It's the story of Sisyphus in Greek mythology. How many of you remember the story? Sisyphus. Okay? If not, who was the Sisyphus? He was the cunning, very manipulative king of Corinth. That's where the 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians come from. The cunning king of Corinth, and he was punished in Hades, known to us as hell, by having repeatedly to roll a huge stone up a hill, only to have it roll down again as soon as he had brought it to the summit. Can you imagine? Push it up all the way to the summit. It rolls down. You go down there, bring it up again, and it rolls down automatically. His punishment was to repeat this action for eternity. You say, ouch, there's no rest for eternity for this guy. And that reminds me of hell. Now, when it comes down to hell, some folks believe that it's the never-quenching fire and brimstone. That's good. Others say that the true punishment in hell is eternal absence of God. That's true too. But to me, the true curse of hell is the torment of what? No rest. You never thought that way, right? No rest forever, not even a second for eternity. Now, those in hell will have no rest for eternity, the Bible says, and the greatest, in my humble opinion, greatest tragedy and the most severe punishment of all. No rest. Now you don't have to take my word for it. Listen to the word of God in Revelation 14:11. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night. Those who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Now, some of us like just get anxious about mark of the beast, 666. And did you know that our church phone number ends with 7666? Once I told the clerk working in the store and she was shocked. 666. Okay. Don't panic. Number itself doesn't mean anything. Now, the people still speculate. What is the mark of the beast today, right? Some people say that it's a chip that you put in the, you know, whatever arm or in your body. Other people say it's some kind of tattoo on your, you know, wrist, whatever. I'll leave the speculation to those folks who love to do. All I'm saying, whoever receives the mark of the beast will be tormented in hell with no rest day and night forever and ever. However, in heaven, it's quite a different story. What do you think you will have? The opposite of no rest. You're going to have eternal rest. It's not, you know, sleep forever. No, rest. Now, just for those folks interested in knowing more, I encourage you to read Revelation chapter 21, where it says, in heaven, there will be no death, no more crying, no more mourning, no tears. You will have rest in God forever. Now, I thought about, why do we need rest? And my question was, who doesn't need rest, right? But here's the reason why I came up with after studying the Bible. We need rest for refreshment. You think refreshment, someone claimed, oh yeah, we need rest for refreshment. Guess what? Bible talked about 2,000 years ago. And even God says, you know, I was refreshed. So we need the rest for refreshment and restoration and renewal every single day. How do we get it? In prayer. Now, before I get to that, did you know that even God himself needed rest from his work? Right after the creation of the universe, entire universe and everything in it. Now listen, Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, this is what it says. By the seventh day arrived, that means, on the end of the sixth day, God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. He rested. Here's another reference in the Bible. After the seventh rest, God was refreshed. Listen, Exodus 31:17. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed. 3,000 years ago, God used the word. The purpose of rest is what? Refreshment of your body and soul and spirit. I thought about, what about Jesus? Even Jesus needed rest. Of course, you know, he was fully man and he was fully God. So man part, human part, we understand. But listen to this. Scripture says that Jesus would spend time in the wilderness alone praying. In Mark chapter 1 verse 35, it says this. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. I thought about why. I wonder why. By the way, he was equal to God, therefore I doubt that he ever needed praying for any material things or healing of any ailments or, you know, illness in his own body. Yet he would, meaning repeatedly, spend time in prayer. For what? This is how I came up with. To pray for humanity, I'm sure. Second, for his ministry, of course. And third, for his communion with God, meaning having dialogue with God. But may I add one more thing? To find rest in God. For 3 years and after grueling ministry, day after day, Jesus needed refreshment from his Father and found it only, where? In time alone with God, which we call prayer. So if God needed rest for refreshment, and even Jesus needed rest for renewal, how much more you and I need prayer and rest in prayer? Now I'm just drawing your attention to today's text. A lot of us like this verse, love this verse. Have you noticed that Jesus inviting all people, especially those who are weary and heavy laden. Weary means physically weary, tired. Heavy laden means that you're emotionally stressed. That's what it is. Those folks, Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. He promises rest. He also teaches us how to get our much needed and desired rest in the following two ways. By doing these two things, we can find rest for our souls. What's the first thing we need to do? Come. We need to go to Jesus. Second, take up his yoke and learn from him. First, come to Jesus How do you go to Jesus? He's not physically here. We cannot just, you know, take a few steps and go there. No. You need to go to Jesus in prayer. Come with confidence to the throne of grace, God says. Throne of grace. Sit quiet in His presence. You know, from time to time, most of the time I spend presenting my shopping list to Jesus in prayer. But there are times that, Lord, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to quietly sit before You. Let me tell you this. His presence alone, even 5 minutes with Him, is a heavenly refreshment, I would call. His company refreshes your spirit and mind. His presence makes us feel relaxed and good and restored and renewed. Come also with near Him with gratitude for whatever He has done for sinners like you and me. On the cross, Jesus paid the wages of your sins and mine in full so that we are now free from eternal punishment. None of us fully understand how blessed we are. You think, being a Christian, what's a big deal? No, it's a big deal. Let me tell you, you will not fully realize until you get to heaven, standing before God and say, Lord, is this what You have done for me? Eternal rest and eternal life. By His own resurrection, Jesus gives us the hope of the same resurrection in heaven. Come to Him, Jesus says, in prayer, and find rest in me. You need to come. Have you noticed that? If you, you know, meditate on the verse, come, Jesus' invitation, by its command, and then you'll find rest. If you don't come to Jesus, you will not find rest that you're looking for. The second way we find rest in Jesus is this. Take His yoke upon ourselves and learn from Him. That requires a little bit of explanation. It carries a twofold meaning. The first meaning is this literal sense of taking the yoke. Have you ever seen the picture of yoke in the old days, ancient days? Especially for, you know, two oxen. It has a long like that, and you put these two oxen under one yoke. Okay? So imagine that. Under this yoke, the two oxen must walk together and work together in harmony. The lead ox, there's always leading one, there's always following one. The lead ox in this case is Jesus. And the other ox is us that follows wherever and in whatever pace the lead ox takes. That's what it's supposed to be. We follow Jesus and we learn from Him when to stop, when to work, when to turn, and even when to rest. We learn from Him. We learn to go wherever He leads. And then we will find rest. Now most of us, myself included, are not, you know, familiar with this. What do you mean just following the lead of Jesus? Well, somehow we have to start practicing it, right? Listen to Him. Lord, do You want me to go? And all these things. And you'll find rest. The other meaning I said is more like a figurative. A scholar says that the yoke here means the teaching of Jesus. We keep His teaching and commandments in our life, then we'll find peace and rest in Him. His promise is this, when you keep My word, you will find rest in Me. I'll give you rest. I will rest you. Kind of funny expression in English, but that's Greek expression of Jesus saying, when you come to Me, I'll rest you. I'll refresh you and I'll recharge you and I will restore you. As for closing, I will say this. I noticed that Christ, our Lord, specializes in so many things. But one thing He specializes in is granting us rest that we are looking for. I said, you can find rest in prayer. Here's why. Three reasons. In prayer, Jesus fills our heart and mind with what? With His peace that surpasses all understanding. Have you noticed that when you have peace, you feel like so peaceful and rested? That's how He gives us rest. In prayer, He grants us assurance that He loves us and He will never forsake us. In prayer, He refreshes our hearts with what? Conviction. That He keeps His promise. So I know from now on if I need rest, guess what? I go to Him and claim His promise. Lord, When I come to you, you said you will give me rest. Imagine a magic pill, if you will, or a wonder drug that has been helping people centuries and proven effective and good for your heart and bones and blood pressure, even cholesterol. It has no side effects and it is free. Furthermore, you can take as many pills as you want with no side effects and anytime you want. In fact, the more is the better. Wouldn't you take that pill every day? I would. Give me. What is that? Let me tell you. That magic pill or wonder drug is known to us as prayer. It is God invented, it is God approved, and it is saints tested pill. Why wouldn't you start taking it today and every day? And I think, you know, I want you to be wise using your common sense. If I tell you, Bob or Mike, or Leo, he's sleeping. Why don't you take this pill? It works. It's good for your heart. It's free. Would be foolish of you if you don't take my advice. Really? That's what we've been doing. You know, the all prayer. Yes, I know it works and it's good for us and everything. But when it comes down to using it, we don't. When we do, we'll find rest in Jesus. We will be refreshed every day, and we will be eternally glad. Let's bow as in prayer. Prayer is indeed a privilege, Lord. Oh, without pretense, we come to you. We share what we are going through with you. And when Jesus says, come when you're tired, come when you're heavy laden, come when you're stressed out. We do all other things, watching TV, doing our sports, all this is running outside and sweating with the hope that we would find rest. But Jesus and God prescribed wonderful magic pill, if we will, that always works. Help us, Lord, to find true rest in you through prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.